This week, Shinnecock Hills Golf Club on Long Island, New York, plays host to the 126th U.S. Open.
It's our distinct honor to present the Jack Nicklaus Medal to the United States Open champion, Brooks Koepka.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
It gets boring from like hole 5 to 12. You're just like, where am I right now?
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
I got the dad bod going. I'm not worried about it anymore.
And Brandon Sprague.
I can't tell you how nice it feels when you just get one off the tee and it's in the fairway.
U.S. Open Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network.
Hump Day.
Yes, indeed. Happy Hump Day, everybody. Hello. Happy
what
Wednesday.
What is happening?
A busy little show today.
Got a lot to get to on the old notes today.
The docket is full.
You got a full docket today?
I do.
You got a full docket on a Wednesday?
I do. I don't think we'll get to it all.
It's not easy to have a full docket this time of year. No. Right about now, full dockets are pretty rare.
No, it's not.
Usually it's about 80% full, 85% full. Hopefully something breaks or we goof.
I want to
close the gap somewhere.
I want to unload and finish my NBA Finals Knicks thoughts that we didn't get
to. Ooh, we got carryover NBA Finals thoughts today?
Carryover.
I love it.
Couple day later,
I love
New
it.
Knick thoughts.
I love it, man. I mean, it was such a compelling finals. We should not bury it yet. Most watched since 1998. The numbers came in. They were massive.
Well, that was part of what I was going to bring up today.
Big time numbers for the NBA.
America has spoken. This is what they care about.
We care about aliens from France who we hate and despise as dirty players, and the New York Knicks, evidently. Those two things will get us to watch.
We also care a lot about soccer. Did you see our ratings for the U.S.
Paraguay? Oh, no, I did not see those.
25 million.
Woo!
Now, I didn't read.
That's a big number.
They made it sound like that was the American number. I didn't read if that was the international.
Ooh,
how are we gauging this? Are we mixing Canada, America, Mexico?
No.
No, that's got to be a U.S. number.
Yeah,
that's
we can't
just
do
U.S.
that.
That's just U.S.
Okay. If you got $25 million for the first game, that's pretty.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a number right there. I also wonder how many people saw the score and like, oh, it's already too, like, you know, see little action early on and you end up turning the game on that way. 25 million is a remarkable
cool,
start.
It was Friday, 6 p.m.
Friday
Pacific,
evening.
So
yeah.
9
so
p.m.
English,
on the East Coast.
English only got 18 million
okay.
And then the 8.9.
That was Telemundo or whatever.
Yeah, it was the
got
Spanish
it.
Language
okay,
channel.
Okay, still, I mean, that's still a hell of a number to open. This is the benefit of having a United States World Cup, is that there aren't games on at 3 o'clock in the morning or 9 a.m.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to get prime time. I think the Friday game is noon, cool. Right? We got a nooner on Friday.
Did you see there's a report that came out? God, it might have been Marchand or somebody like that, one of those media reporters. They had a thing that came out and it basically said Fox is super pissed at ESPN.
I did see that.
Because
yeah.
They don't think ESPN.
They're not talking about the World Cup.
Is not doing.
No.
They're not doing enough World Cup coverage, and it's the first World Cup we've hosted since 94.
We need to debate Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. We don't have time for the World Cup here, okay? What is more important?
How long
Mbappe's
has ESPN
goal?
Been around? When the NHL. Went away.
Oh, they didn't talk about it for
they
a second.
They didn't talk about hockey no. For squat.
You get a 90-second hit from Barry Melrose at the end of SportsCenter, and that was it. Okay, thanks for that
summation.
And that's
just because everybody loved Barry Melrose.
Yes, it was more about Barry Melrose than it was hockey.
Well, let me give you kind of a take there, though. Like, if you're going to get mad at ESPN, if I'm ESPN, I leak something to this media guy, and I say, why don't you ask Fox what they're airing on their channels?
Right.
We don't care because no one watches.
Nobody's
exactly.
Watching. Nobody's complaining that FS1 isn't talking enough about the NBA
Nick
Finals.
Nick Wright is not doing GOAT debate with soccer. It's only doing LeBron. Why?
The one defense I will have here of ESPN, I mean, not that they need a defense, is that they were coming off of, again, to connect it back to what we just said 2 minutes ago, the most watched NBA Finals we've had in nearly 30 years.
And since
the most
Michael Jordan
watched
played basketball.
Who yeah. Has the NBA Finals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who aired the games?
Right.
Like, where do they butter their bread?
Right.
Talking about GOATs and Jalen Brunson and small guards and, you know, all-time debate. Like, That is their milk and honey right there. And so I think as the World Cup goes on,
they'll get into it.
They'll get more into it, and you'll get more takes on First Take and all the other shows throughout the day on ESPN. But as of right now, you on Friday night, you were going into, right, Game 5 was on Saturday of the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. So you had that wrapping up the next day, and then on Monday you're getting a reaction from that that carries over. Like, we'll get there eventually. But now that the championships are done, I think they'll pay a little more attention.
It was also the most watched Stanley Cup playoff since.
It was, dude. They have great numbers, man.
I think people are just watching sports in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just stakes and, you know, involved.
It is a weird feeling when those end, because those are the last kind of appointment television sports viewing things for me until
the NBA draft.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the NBA draft I'll probably watch, but we don't have a pick, so that's not quite the same.
I'm still fascinated to see how the top three
definitely will
shake
have it
out.
On. But the way I gauge sports in my life is like,
how does it impact you?
Is it like 5:30 and I need to we got to get the TV on, the game's going, or oh, that's right, that's on. Let's turn it on while we're walking around.
What's the draft then? If we don't have a pick, which
the draft
I would concede
will be on
to you,
in the background,
but it's on before it starts.
It'll be on before it starts. Okay. Yeah, the draft probably will be that.
Will you still be out at the golf course?
Oh, touche.
No.
No, probably not.
No, usually leave the golf course by 3:30.
What time does the draft start?
4:35.
4:35-ish. That's probably around the time I'll be arriving home.
Yeah, I should
probably walk in the door, turn the TV on, and then catch up.
That's what I did last year. I left at like 3:40.
Yeah, I mean, we're there most of the day. We got to go to bed at 7 o'clock, so it's, you know.
What do you want?
My Tuesday scaries are kicking in
here. Well, no, I was just curious.
I need to go get ready to go to sleep. Yeah, I'll probably get home right around that time and then turn the draft on.
Has there ever been a year you can recall where you've seen our faces past 4:30? Because the answer is no.
No.
You've never seen us.
I don't think so.
We grind all day.
Usually I start losing track of time around that point in the festivities.
That's about how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, the appointment television thing is a valid, you know.
It's weird
thing
though,
to
not
up.
Like I was thinking about this last night of not, because I had the World Cup on throughout the day, right? There's exciting games. Obviously, the way it ended was awesome. But it's a little bit, that's more of like, okay, we're home. That's right. This game's on, turn it on. You end up watching it.
It's more like day baseball.
Yeah, it's like a day baseball
game.
Hey,
oh, great.
Let's keep the
looks
keep an eye
gorgeous
on this.
At Wrigley today.
Yeah, but to go to the Fox point on ESPN, yesterday they were caught debating on one of their morning hot take shows.
Yeah.
They were doing debates. Are dynasties truly good for the NBA, or have we moved past needing dynasties?
Oh, don't you worry. I got a Quake take from yesterday on ESPN that I pulled for today's
show.
And
people were
the return of Quake takes will happen today.
I remember seeing tweets and people were like, isn't this something you holster for August?
Yeah, are we using this ammunition?
10th, when you have nothing happening?
It's a little too quick of a turnaround on the dynasty takeaway.
Well, here's my question also. So if you're not, like, FIFA, the rights for FIFA and what everybody pays, so how much highlight action or accessibility does ESPN actually have?
Oh, they have full access.
To highlights?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, I don't know how that works because
the Olympics
is always weird that way.
You always get the still photos.
Yeah, you can't show the highlights.
But very
of the
few actual live highlights.
That's actually a good follow up from ESPN.
I've watched SportsCenter.
Well, that's fine.
They've shown the World Cup highlights.
Okay.
How much did Fox pay for the World Cup?
Probably a stupid amount of money.
Yeah, I don't know how long their deal was because it wasn't like a one off. They got three or four of them.
Do you think they made it? Are they going to make the number they spent on it back in advertising?
Yes.
Especially,
you think they will?
Yes,
if the U.S. gets into the knockout a couple of rounds.
Do you think the NFL does?
I think so.
They don't.
They don't make their money back?
Networks do not make their money back that they spend.
What about years that they have a Super Bowl?
Super Bowls might be a little different, but I remember hearing John Skipper talk about this. He used to run ESPN, and he goes, people think networks who spend like $6 billion, $7 billion, $8 billion, whatever it is,
right,
make that back in advertising. They don't.
There was,
that's a lot of money to be made
that
back
is true.
In advertising.
So this says that Fox is paying valued somewhere around $1 billion.
That's all it took?
Yeah, it's not quite. And I don't know how many years is that just for this year. I'm not sure. But there was a story that came out yesterday. One of the things I do chuckle at watching, I didn't quite realize we have, is these hydration breaks. It's like, you know, quarters, but not quarters. So it's like we're taking a pause, but the game's still going on.
Yeah, nobody's buying that.
Like, and they estimated there was somebody
because they're adding added advertising
yes.
in the course of the game that's never been happen. There before.
There was a ad executive or somebody who on Awful Announcing estimated that they will make just on hydration break ad sales $250 million yeah. for the
if
tournament.
If that's true and this story I'm reading is true, mm-hmm. Fox paid $500 million for the event.
Only $500 million,
okay. For just this.
Let me make sure I have this. Fox Sports is set for.
So they're making half of their money back just on hydration breaks. Now, do they always do hydration breaks, or is that totally just made up?
Normally
just for this event,
there's no way they paid only $500 million.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
That's a corrupt organization. They're going to want more than that,
right? That was yeah.
So hydration. Usually, there's a temperature like gauge, like if it's above 88
yeah,
or 90
we played in Qatar or
something.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Then, yes, it's up to the referee's discretion. This year, they mandated it. Now, there were some of the venues, obviously, down in Texas and in the summer. They're
yeah,
like,
it's hot, yeah.
Yeah,
the
I don't know, man.
The forecast is going to be 90 in humidity
right.
up there.
It might be $500 million.
That's not that
I'm
much at all. I've
seen multiple stories. Like, they bought the rights to FIFA's World Cup TV deal for $480 to $500 million.
Wow.
You're getting $20 million for the first USA game. That number's only going to go up for every game, I would guess, that they play
oh,
if they
no
continue
doubt.
To play
Friday,
this way. Like, you're,
this
especially
Friday
once the
noon.
Other players start yeah, meeting each man. Other in these matches.
Oh, yeah. You get an Mbappe versus yeah. Messi matchup.
Oh, I mean, it's over.
There's a chance. I was talking to my brother last night. We went for a walk around the neighborhood. He said that there's a chance, if everything shakes the way it might shake, that England and the United States might play in Philly on the 4th of July.
That is so patriotic. Awesome.
Like, wow. On the 250th birthday of America,
that?
We could get USA versus England in, and not in like
down the
Kansas
road from
City,
Independence
not
Hall,
not in SoFi
and the Liberty
Stadium,
Bell.
In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
I shake my head.
The Continental
I really
Congress
do.
Is ready.
I absolutely really shake my head in real time, seeing what people view as patriotism and how we gloat about America. I will tell you right now, there is a flag on the back of my electric vehicle.
Yeah, on
if
that
we
day,
play England
on the 4th of July,
July,
you're going to put one out the back
Philadelphia?
Window.
You better ring the Liberty Bell, bitch. Let's go.
Now, what do you want to see from the English fans, though? You want them all coming in their red coats?
Oh, yes, I think you have to. If you're an English fan, you got to play into it. We need red coats in that stadium with your fake powdered wigs.
Yes.
Get those on by. Get a bulk purchase.
There better be iced tea at this event.
Somebody's got dump iced tea. Into a body of water somewhere. I know that was Boston, but it's okay.
It doesn't matter.
4th of July, we got to live this up. Now, once I heard that there's a chance that that happens, we desperately need that.
Yeah.
That would be incredible.
Yeah, I'm with
you.
Did
you see what has to occur? Like, who wins
so your
the group?
Told you this?
And who?
Yeah, yeah.
Let me look it up. I'll look it up for you.
Yeah, he's getting super into soccer. He just sent me a.
A lot of people are.
Yeah, I mean, my nephew loves
well,
soccer.
If you didn't
so
get inspired yesterday watching three of the biggest names in the
so
sport.
So it's mathematically impossible, according to this AI overview.
So this says one possible theory is that if the USA wins Group D.
Yes.
And okay. England finishes as the runner-up.
In Group L?
In whatever group, yeah. Is that what group they're in?
Yep.
The two sides would play in the round of 16 on July 4th in Philadelphia.
Okay.
So they need to finish what again in Group L?
Second.
Who's in Group L?
hang on.
I got it.
Okay. Croatia.
Croatia might
Croatia's
be sneaky.
Croatia's good.
Yeah, Croatia's
okay.
good.
Croatia could do it.
I'm hoping there might be a Croatia World Cup game while we're... ported in one of the
I asked for
oh while the
Croatia
town's going crazy yeah that'd be pretty fun
that would
ask
be
for a bracket
that's
and
gonna be a fun experience being
nothing.
Overseas in country well I guess in Italy they're not in the tournament
no but we figured there'll probably be some sort of
oh people will still be
because all the games
yeah,
are gonna be
yeah.
late evening into the middle of the night
oh yeah be, yeah
so like the U.S. game on Friday will be 9 p.m. local time kickoff because it's noon here.
Are we a villain in soccer around the country or around the world?
I think we're disregarded in
not
soccer
even cared
around
about.
The country.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know if that was viewed as anything.
That's cute.
I know that people
yeah,
hate us in a lot
cute.
Of sports. Like, oh, cute, you won a game.
That's
okay.
that. He is accurate. That's yeah. cute.
Nobody. So there's more
we're not good
of this team. There's more players on this team that play club soccer over in Europe.
Yes.
So there might be a few more recognizable names, but...
I think we're closer to Cape Verde than we are France around the world.
But no, it's...
If you want to know my thoughts.
Historically speaking, you're not wrong.
The U.S. is frisky this year.
Hey.
Did they beat Paraguay?
What is the matter with you
all right,
over there?
I guess.
Cape Verde's going on a run this year. Did you see the story about their keeper? Look at me. I'm getting my soccer lingo down.
Yes. Oh, I have soccer stuff on the show today. Okay. Yesterday was pretty monumental.
It was.
Yesterday was outstanding.
No, what about the keeper at Cape
so
Verde?
He had, so they obviously tied or drew the game or what it draw.
He had seven actual saves.
He was outstanding, made a bunch of saves. Yeah. And it's like, who's this little country? And oh my God, they you know, nothing against Spain, 0-0 against Spain. He surpassed in one day. He went from having, I can't remember what the exact number was, but I want to say like 850,000 followers on Instagram going into the game.
Yeah.
And in one day, he surpassed Wembanyama, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and basically every athlete in American sports, and now has 9 million followers on Instagram.
God, that's awesome.
So he had, in one day.
For seven saves, that game,
and that performance, he shot out. He now has 9 million followers on Instagram.
So he played on a second-tier Portuguese team as his club team. So he probably had everybody in Portugal
that follows that team,
and then everybody on Cape Verde that has access to the internet.
What is there, 400,000 people on the island?
85,000 or something.
At what number on Instagram do you start saying those are fake?
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, the bots?
Like, up to 9 million is a massive, massive
like
jump.
Like Mr. Beast, you know, the YouTuber, he just celebrated 500 million subscribers. And I dropped down, and people are making points of like, how anticlimactic was this video? It looks like somebody faking caring about the subscriber thing, because he was like, he got to 500.
Yeah.
Remember like in The Social Network when they counted the million? Mr. Beast is just live and they just 500 million. He's like, woo! Yeah! Poof! Oh, I'm so happy! People were like, dude, what kind of fake crap
That's
is
it?
This?
That's all you got?
But people were like, at least 280 million of these things have to be fake.
I would tend to agree with
There's
you.
There's 500 million people? Humans individually
using YouTube, let alone subscribe to his channel.
Yeah, right.
Mm.
Like, what's the number on Instagram that you go, not that you're buying the bots, but just the bots are attracted to your account.
The bots flock to you?
Yes.
9 million is, you're bordering on
I think, see, and this is where I'm playing.
A 9 million jump is, that is Come huge. On. 9 million people.
I mean, maybe he did, but.
It's just a funny thought of like, we watched that. We talked about it when it was happening. It was a crazy outcome.
We
like,
watched
oh my God.
Like three of his saves.
We did early on in the game. Everybody wants the Spain coach to get fired. Get him out of here. This guy's a bum.
Yeah.
The idea, though, that would then lead you to go follow him on Instagram is a funny move. Maybe I just use social media differently. But like the idea, oh, now I got to go follow that guy on Instagram. Is he a good poster? Does he have good content? Do I get like goalie takes?
I don't think people follow other people like that. Mostly like my nephew's best friend who just committed to Oregon.
Yeah.
I saw him the couple days after he had committed and we were talking and we were going over like, hey, you know, this is, and I just give him my thoughts as somebody who covers and watches sports. And I'm like, oh, man, you got to be careful, right? Like, don't be going on the internet if you have a bad game or anything like that.
Right, stay
and
off.
And he goes, oh, I know. It's been crazy. And I go, really? He's like, dude, so many followers. The minute he committed to Oregon, it was
I bet, yeah.
Just filled it right up.
Popping off. And I'm sure since he was committed to Washington State, there were probably some very nice things said by Cougar fans in the comments to a 17, 18-year-old
kid.
We've
seen some of those nice comments. Yes. Those nice comments could come in.
Oh, they just come flying on in, you know, from the good of your heart. Tell me how you really feel, man. Thank you. You never met me, but I appreciate the positive feedback on my life decisions.
That's got to be the whirlwind, I think, of any kind of celebrity, whether you're sports or entertainment, is just from one minute being, oh, yeah, I kind of know that guy, to whoop, now you're another level, and it's insane.
9 million Instagram followers. I mean, that is more than I'm pretty sure every American, outside of like LeBron.
I'm actually surprised to hear that 9 million is only the level for.
Let me see what that would
be. Some of the names, like Mahomes is only 9. Wemby's only less than 9. I would have guessed all of those guys are in the 15 million follower range.
I would have, too, but I also don't know how active they are. Like, some people don't even, like, Tiger Woods probably has a lot of followers, but he never actually posts on his own.
Yeah.
Outside of, LeBron is the most
LeBron
on Instagram.
LeBron has the most?
159, according to Google AI.
Yeah, see, I think these guys.
Steph is 57.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook, 21.
Yeah,
why are we just getting NBA players?
Well, because I think they're the most popular.
Probably. Messi has the most in the world at 512 million. That's, speak of 500 million.
That I actually believe.
Yeah, then you go to LeBron second, 154.
Those are not bots.
Shaq down
There's
to 35.
There's a few bots in there.
Yeah.
Floyd Mayweather, who's in the news for wonderful things, 28.7 million.
Imagine making 400 million and writing a check that bounces for 100 grand.
What's that possible?
What broke it'll be. How? What are you doing?
Didn't he just do a stupid like Netflix fight and get $100 million
payment?
I mean,
we know he's not great with money, but jeez, dude, just awful.
And you got a lot of child support payments in
there. Well, let's get it going. Let's try to be on time today. We got a loaded show, a lot to discuss. Giannis Antetokounmpo in the headlines today again.
Ooh, did we pull off the trade? Has it happened yet?
I think we're in line.
We're in line?
I think we're in line.
What ticket do we have for that rye bread? What number do we have?
We are the stealth sneak team that's going to get in this and be like, oh, my God, they went for it.
Okay, we might have number one.
Do I know that for a fact? I don't, but I'm willing to say it nonetheless.
Sauces.
We got a Statter Story Wednesday. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for hanging with us. Let's get it going. Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Quite the extravaganza in the sports world yesterday. We got quite the gift. We had a total of 7 goals scored by 3 of the best players in the world. You had Erling Haaland, who is this dynamite player out for the Premier League playing for Norway. He got 2 goals in his first match.
Learned about this guy yesterday. Who's this big dude?
I knew about him. Good. I knew about him going into the Premier League fandom thing that I'd started this year. And I read a really interesting article that he goes to a farm near a house that he lives in.
Okay.
And he, like, picks which steaks he wants to eat because he's, like, a full drink milk, eat steak guy. Like, he's Jim Harbaugh.
Like, are we talking, like, he looks at the cow and says, cut that one up for me? Or
yeah.
He picks out the pieces of meat after they've been cut?
All of it.
All of it, okay.
All of it. They show him the steak cuts, and he goes, that one, that one.
Bessie over there, cut her up.
That cow, cut him up.
Cut that cow.
And he is just an absolute machine, dude. He's huge. When you see him on, like, just the Premier League.
He looked massive yesterday.
He looks massive.
Yeah, it stands out. A lot of the other goal scorers seem small and quick twitch.
Completely 6'4"?
I don't know if he's entirely 6'4". He just is big. He's a behemoth, and when your team plays him,
I'd like to see him next to... like safeties and linebackers of the NFL.
See, so I always think it's the NBA guys that are better comps to stand these guys next to get an idea of like, God,
like stand
big,
him next to Steph Curry and see what he looks like.
Right.
Yeah.
Because Steph Curry is a lot bigger in person than he looks.
Why
on the
are
television.
People all of a sudden saying Steph Curry's 6'2"? Isn't he like 6'3" and a half?
Yeah, he's.
I know
6'4".
He's a bit slight compared.
It's about
to
the
some
Brunson
dudes.
Debate. People want to say that a small guard has led a team to a championship before.
Brunson might be 6'1".
Yeah, he's tiny.
There's
ESPN.
People that think he's 5'11.
Haaland, is that how you say this guy's name?
Erling Haaland.
Haaland.
Yeah.
ESPN lists him 6'5, 205.
Yeah. And I would guess he's every bit of that listing of 6'5.
They looked that on TV yesterday.
So he gets 2 goals.
He's a beast.
You have Kylian Mbappe, who many regard as maybe the best player right now in the world. He got 2 goals.
Yeah.
And then the GOAT, Lionel Messi. Had a hat trick yesterday.
Pretty damn cool, man.
Dude, yesterday was, I know there's been really good stuff, and people are really into the World Cup, and we've had a lot of close, you know, surprise draws, and a lot of draws. Yesterday was the best day of World Cup action.
They needed that after a day of 4 draws.
You needed it badly.
Yeah, because you had a nothing-nothing, 2 1-to-1s and 1 2-to-2 draws the day before. You didn't have anybody win a game, and that's always where, you lose me a little bit. I'm, you know, sitting around for that long, and I get the draw being a good result for some teams, right? Like the Cape Verde draw against Spain is much different than some other teams maybe playing down to their competition, vice versa for Spain. It's a horrible draw for them. Yesterday was exactly what you wanted. I mean, it was household names. I don't even watch soccer, and I've heard of most of these guys. And it's one thing to have big names on the big stage. It's another for the big names to come out and perform. And you got every single one of them to come out and do something that almost felt unique after the last one. And then I think we get Ronaldo today, right? Isn't he playing today?
Yes, Portugal's up first.
People have already made jokes of like, dude, how many shots is that guy going to take in the lineup today?
Well, the first question is he going to be in the starting 11?
How much is he going to play?
If he's playing, that guy's going to take 80 shots today every time he touches the ball because he just saw all these other guys put on performances yesterday and he wants to one up and be in the headlines. So for somebody who doesn't care a lot about soccer, I'm still getting into the World Cup. Yesterday was phenomenal, man. It was fun all the way to the end of the night with Messi with the hat trick.
With Messi's hat trick, he tied Germany's Miroslav, is it close?
Closa.
For the most career World Cup goals. Here's how it sounded on Telemundo.
Ahí va Messi, prefiere con Nico por aquí. González para Messi. Messi. Goal! Goal!
Wait for it.
Goal!
The one, the only Andres Cantor.
That is so good. That is so good, man.
I don't have that in my bag of tricks.
You don't think you can bust
that out? You can't
go
that long?
Not two of them back to back. I might be able to give you one.
Well, the first one's probably about 4 seconds. The second one is the extender, but he doesn't give himself much of a break between.
No. It was a quick goal,
yeah,
right back into it.
So, yeah. Dude. So, and he's got to just respond in the moment. Like when I'm at the hops and I bring the hops out of the dugout after the hype video, I give it a big old here come your Hillsboro hops and
right.
Hold it for a while. But
ooh, how long do you hold hops?
It's more Hillsboro that I will hold because sometimes they're farting around in the dugout and not paying attention. And
you're trying to get them out of
there. Trying to wait until the first guy gets up the steps.
I said, Hillsboro, time to go, boys.
It'd be funny if you didn't notice it until you started saying it, and then you're just like looking around, but you're still dragging out, Hillsboro.
Oh.
I think last year there was a couple of times they were seeing how long I could go.
Now they're just playing with you.
Because yeah. I usually wait till the first or second guy gets like out of the dugout and then go into hops.
It's like when you get the pitchers who do the standoff after the national anthem and then end up getting tossed from the game.
Yeah,
and they stand out there on the field, first one to move.
Yeah,
loses,
they're not budging.
And the umpire's like, get out of here. And he just tosses them both out of the game.
Yeah, who was that? What game was that? Two players were just tossed for not sitting down for the after the anthem.
Was it the Angels? I want to say it was the Angels.
It was two guys not going to play, but they just had a battle.
Yeah, they weren't in the rotation. It was like, let's just have fun. I'm going to go hang out in the clubhouse today.
Yeah.
And they just stood on the field, and the umpire's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, this just happened. I think it was last week.
It was last week.
There was 2 weeks. Tampa and Anaheim, it looks like.
Yeah, it was the Angels.
Was that 2 weeks ago?
Lance Barrett in Tampa.
Yeah.
No, Lance Barrett was the umpire. Mm. Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago that it just happened.
So, look, Mbappe in France, the favorite for many. Erling Haaland is still catching on with people who maybe aren't familiar with Premier League guys, right?
Now I know a new name.
Messi, so he does this yesterday. He scores the 3 goals. The third one is just, it's so insane, the precision he has when he shoots. It's
through,
just nuts.
Just weaves it through four
like
dudes. Four or five
defenders in the corner, just where the goalie just cannot reach. He gets his third goal. And then, of course, it turns into the GOAT debate stuff because that's what we do in sports. They do it in soccer.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the analyst's name, but he's like, you can make a case for whoever you want to make a case for. You can't make a case against.
Mm.
And I thought that was an interesting way of having a conversation about all-time great player in a sport and just truly how cool and unique it is for us, even if we're not the diest of soccer fans like
right.
other people out there, to be able to witness the greatest player to ever play the sport, and he's still doing it at this age on this stage.
While playing in the MLS, too, now. Like, it's not even like he's at the peak of his powers in his, Champions League days.
And he doesn't play every game in the MLS. If there's turf, he's out.
Yeah, so he has tied the all-time goal record for the World Cup, right?
Yeah.
So one more, he will be the all-time leader in goals in the World Cup.
Hard to imagine he's not going to get one more in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I would be curious, too, from an outsider looking in, like, do we view this as modern NFL passing records? Of like, yeah, you're going to be top five all time, but are you really top five all time?
No, not with
Does
him.
That make, because don't we have more games than we've ever had now? I'm not saying in terms of the GOAT debate. I'm just saying in terms of the record of the World Cup.
That I can't. Well, yeah, because
it's expanded now and there's more opportunities.
But
and you're playing Algeria in the first game.
Argentina.
His caliber and talent is just, I think people would have just said regardless.
I was just glad it happened because I knew he was playing last night. And I'm like, let's turn it on, see what Messi does. And I don't know anybody else on their team. I can't name any other players. He's the only one. And if they beat Algeria 3-0 and it's three other guys that score goals, it's like, okay, Argentina looks like they're going to be really good this year, but there's not a lot of noteworthy things out of it. That was the one thing that the casual fan and I think the diehard fan both wanted to see was a performance like that. You want to see these guys go show out on
Arrowhead
the biggest stage.
Looked like it was sold out 80 whatever thousand they
there
stuck
was a clip
in there.
Of,
well, I mean, they've been supporting Algeria and Lawrence as we played with that old guy, and then it's Messi.
And it's Messi, so.
Messi sold out Auburn, Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was one of their friendlies going into it, too. Did you see the video of Jameis Winston in the Argentina rooting section? He was wearing a Messi jersey and he was holding a goat stuffed animal. And when they scored the last goal, he's freaking out and high-fiving everybody with this goat stuffed animal in his hand. It was hilarious.
It does feel largely less toxic to have the conversation in soccer than it does the way we do it in basketball.
I like the idea of don't tear down, you build up your fighter. You choose your fighter, give me the reasons why you think he's the GOAT, the accolades, the accomplishments, but it doesn't have to be because you're building one up, you have to tear the other one down.
Yeah, I think that's what my takeaway was, is the proper way, in my opinion, as somebody that has dabbled in the GOAT stuff in basketball, I've always said I always view basketball realistically as a farm of goats.
Yes.
More so than there's just one player, right? Like, that's really unfair to eras prior and eras past.
Yes.
Because in soccer,
if you want to make the case and your GOAT is Michael Jordan, I think you can say it the exact same way. Like, you can make an argument for Kareem, if Bill Russell, Wilt, Magic, LeBron, whoever that is for you. You can make the case. You can't make the case against.
No.
That's the thing.
I like the idea of doing it that way.
I do, too.
And I imagine because he's had to have checked every big box that you could check, right? He's
pretty
won
much.
A World Cup, which you probably have to have in order to be considered
the
GOAT.
They just won the MLS Cup.
MLS Cup. I'm assuming he won championships in, you know.
League, where was he? Was he Barcelona?
I think he's
many,
Barcelona.
Many years.
Barcelona.
Yes.
Barcelona?
Yeah, they are TH over there.
Did he win an Olympic? Did he ever win an Olympic gold?
Lisp?
That's the only one I don't know.
Do people care about soccer in the Olympics?
That's the sport
not
I know the least about
since
is Olympic soccer.
There was a point at which they switched up the player allocation, so it's mostly players 23 and under, and I can't remember which Olympics they did that because they didn't want it to just be a repeat of the World Cup. The World Cup wanted to stay what it was every 4 years. So it was mostly 23 and under, and then you could have like two or three players over the age of whatever that threshold was.
Right, right.
But I don't know when they instituted that rule in the Olympics.
Looks like he was with Barcelona from about 2005 all the way to 2021. Yeah. So that's a hell of a run right there.
Yeah, I mean, look, a couple years, it feels like maybe a World Cup or two World Cups ago, people were having a debate. Is it Ronaldo? Is it Messi?
And then he finally won it in the last one.
And that's separated everything.
And you can't have a soccer GOAT debate without Pelé.
You know what's interesting? The guy didn't name him.
Really, in the debate?
He named, like, he didn't. Well, he wasn't going through who he just started naming guys.
Yeah.
And Pelé was not one of the names.
Hmm.
He mentioned the other Ronaldo, Brazil's Ronaldo.
Yes.
But he did not mention
Pelé. Which one was Ronaldinho? Was that the Brazil guy?
That was also a Brazil guy.
Okay. Brazil had a Ronaldo too?
Yes.
Yeah.
They did? There's two Ronaldos?
There's two Ronaldos.
I remember Ronaldinho. I remember that name.
Yeah, he said Ronaldo, Brazil.
Brazil Ronaldo.
He said you can mention anybody you want.
Portuguese Ronaldo.
You
pick your Ronaldo fighter.
You cannot make a case against.
Yeah, what if we get another Messi? What country is he going to be from?
Oh, well.
Get another one down the road.
Is any of his kids good at soccer? Do we know if Messi's kids are good at soccer?
I'd imagine there's going to be one who's got the genes that could get it done. I think you just got to worry about the work ethic when you're that big and that rich and that famous. Like, are you going to get a kid that has the drive that wants to go do it?
He's a fascinating dude. I couldn't tell you what he sounds like for $1 billion.
Neither could I. And I think he loves playing in the MLS because he can go into a grocery store and probably 90% of the people in there don't recognize him.
Yeah, at some point that's going to stop.
At some point,
you
I'm
know,
sure
it's
it will.
Not already stopped in Miami.
I'm
but
sure
it
the
also
World Cup
hopes that he's only 5'6", so he's not like an
in.
NBA player that right. like everybody's looking up. Like,
put a hoodie on, and you.
I should
walk
know. I should
you
know
want.
That's somebody important. I should know who that is.
Yeah, LeBron James walks through a grocery store in the United States of America. Everybody in the grocery store knows who that is.
That is just so funny. You said that. I was just at something, and I saw. I saw a 6'5 black guy, and my thought was,
which blazer is that?
I know this guy. I know this guy.
What year did he play?
I think it ended up being Thomas Gardner.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Thomas Gardner.
I hadn't seen him in so long.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
it's a throwback name.
I know this guy. And I Google imaged, I was like, is that Thomas Gardner?
Right.
And I Google imaged it. Boom, there he was. He's got a little gray in the beard now. And I was like, all right, how about that?
I'd love to interview Messi in person, one of the few dominant all-time professional athletes that I might be looking like eye to forehead to. Make me feel good.
I don't think you'd actually want to interview him.
No, I'd be a little. Actually, I don't know how intimidated I would be.
I don't think you'd be intimidated. I think he's. I don't think he's very.
Probably not a very good interview.
Lively as an interview guy.
Never heard him talk before.
That's what I'm saying.
I know that I'm taller than him. That makes me feel good. I got that going for me.
You're not the GOAT, though.
No, no.
He is the GOAT. I got leftovers from the NBA Finals. A couple things that caught my eye I want to get to involving the New York Knicks. We'll get to that. Dirt and Sprague. Back with more on The Fan. Fan text line is where you can reach the show at 503-864-6326. Good morning. Dirt and Sprague with you on this beautiful little hump day. Hope your commute's going all right. Happy summer to everybody out there. Sorry for teaching some of the kiddos out there a phrase that was written on a bikini barista board yesterday. I apologize profusely for that. I will try not to do that today.
Let's not do that one today. Let's stay away from that one.
Dirt and Sprague summer school begins.
It's a school of hard knocks all summer.
You know, they're going to figure it out eventually.
Somebody's got to teach these kids the things they need to know.
The parents need to be the ones to do it, not me, so I apologize for
that.
You don't
want to take that responsibility on?
We will dive into kind of a laundry list of things at the top of the 7 a.m. hour that I want to talk about in regards to something we care about locally.
Mm.
But I had leftover New York Knicks stuff. I don't know if you've been observing or watching or seeing any clips of them hitting the morning show circuits the couple days after they won the title.
They have been everywhere, man. They were on Fallon. They were on
Good
Morning America. They were at the World Cup game at MetLife Stadium. These guys are going to be the kings of New York all summer long. And the parade's
tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. That's going to be a crazy scene.
The scene is going to be absolutely nuts. Unfortunately for us, we won't be able to react to it until Monday.
Yeah, we don't have a show on Friday.
If there's anything that's really from it.
I'm sure there'll be some fun audio here or there, but we don't tend to talk too much about parades unless somebody says something funny.
Well, I got a couple things here. First, what does it say that we found out this was the highest watched NBA Finals since Jordan's 98 season?
Yeah.
Of all the years we've had, all the champs, all the interesting subplots, Cleveland winning their first championship, like, think of everything that has transpired from 98, the end of Jordan's run, his last shot, to this year. And I'm not shocked. I think I have it on the record on the show of telling you I thought this was going to be the most watched since 98.
Yes.
And you kind of going, really? And I just, there was something about Wemby, it's New York. But
yeah, I think we forget how ginormous.
But what does it say that this
York
is the one since 98?
It's so some perspective too. The difference between this one and the Cavs and Warriors series, the highest rated actual Cavs and Warriors series was not the 3-1 comeback. It was the following year, which was the first Kevin Durant NBA Finals against LeBron.
That was the higher rated. And
that
on
one
an average
20.38 million.
Gotcha. Well, I think you add KD, it's a rematch.
Yeah, it just wasn't that compelling of a series for me. If I remember correctly, that was the game one where LeBron went for 50 in the JR, not knowing the time. The year before in the comeback, averaged 20.2 million. This year, averaged 20.5. So you're in that kind of realm of where you were at ratings-wise. Highest, obviously, since 1998. And those are really the only the couple that came close. It's hard to kind of put a finger on what the different reasons are in terms of, like, the scale of it, right? Like, I certainly acknowledge New York is a massive media market. They have not won a championship since 1973. There are Knicks fans. Like, if you think about national fandoms, how many teams have bigger national fandoms than the Knicks? You have a ton of Knicks fans in your life. I know there's Lakers are obviously a national fandom. There's a handful of teams that are that way. Golden State maybe is this way now.
Yeah.
But not every organization in the NBA works that way. So you're roping in a lot of people. There's more fans of that team than many others across the league. It's a major media market. You have the celebrities involved. You did have the touch of the political controversy with the president of the United States being there. That was talked about on the news ad nauseum for a couple of days when he attended game three and the boos and what was, you know, the experience in MSG. And then you also, I think, on the other side have something that we've never. And listen, at least in modern times, you could probably go back a long ways and say, you know, it's similar to a Wilt or a Kareem. Like, a guy like Wemby is just such a freak, and he's hard to look away from. Like, it's compelling to watch him because it's not another, you know, 6'6" dominant wing that we've seen time and time and time again who's, you know, knocking down turnaround jumpers. He's a 7'4" guy knocking down threes, dribbling, and playing the game in a style that, at least in my eyes, I've never seen before. And so I think you kind of throw all of these things into a melting pot. What's the most important? It's probably the Knicks angle, but I think they all contributed into being the most watched that we've had since 1998.
Another element of this I was wondering yesterday, because I've watched a decent chunk of their morning show hits, OG Anunoby be high as a kite on one of the shows.
Yes, he was.
They asked
him a question directly. He didn't even say anything.
I don't know. I want to say this. Any NBA player dabbling in marijuana, not a surprise.
No.
It's more like I've seen OG Anunoby enough, and I just watched him in the finals have the biggest New York Knicks moment since Willis Reed limped out.
The tip-in comeback 29-point game.
And he literally didn't smile about it. I didn't know how much of that was OG Anunoby high or OG Anunoby socially awkward, not a big conversationalist.
It might not even be high, too. It could just be that they literally didn't sleep.
Well, there was a story written about him, and I thought it was really interesting. So his dad, where they were living, I think in Missouri, if I'm not mistaken, he basically didn't want to go to the park and interact with kids. He begged his dad for a basketball hoop, and he said, I will use it every day if you buy it.
Really?
And his dad was like, it's the greatest investment I've ever made in my life.
Just put it in the driveway, and he's playing every day.
Yeah, and he was out there every single day, because he's not a big social guy.
Yeah.
He's always been a little socially awkward, so I didn't know if that was him high or him just being...
There was just a funny moment where they asked, so OG, what's something, you know, what was it about Mike Brown, blah, 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 and he didn't
respond, and everybody starts laughing.
He's like, do you want me to answer? Brunson was like, you want me to answer this one for you? I'll go ahead and take this one for you.
Well, aside from the fans being jackasses and Jim Dolan,
yes,
the element I thought about with this team with you is, how do we end up hating this team?
I'm not there yet. It'll take me a while to get there.
Well, but how? Try to envision yourself hating them aside from, oh, they just win it again. I don't know if how they play and who they are.
The only thing that happens is if they win like three in a row. Then it'll be like, all right, enough. The New York stuff's,
but
I'm
that's
tired
the
of
only
it.
Way.
That's it. There's nothing on their team or nothing about their players to me that is unlikable. I've always liked Kat. What he went through personally off the court, I think, was a heartbreaking story and incredibly tough to overcome.
Yep.
Brunson being this undersized guard that everybody counted out, was a second-round pick. His first team didn't want him to stick around or didn't give him the fair compensation. He's now rattling cages around the league for Supermax guys of saying, I took 100 whatever million off the table to spread around the roster. Now there's pressures on other guys to do that. OG Anunoby seems like a genuinely good dude. Josh Hart, we love Josh Hart when he was in Portland. He's the quintessential role player that every team that wants to try and win should try and have, because he does all the dirty things. Like, there's nothing unlike. I love Mike Brown too. Doesn't love Mike Brown. Everything about this team is likable. There's nothing that I despise about them. The only thing that will change that is if they go, and I just don't think it's going to happen. That's part of the reason they seem a little harmless, is nobody's doing the dynasty thing to them that we would have done to San Antonio had they won the NBA Finals.
Have you been surprised how quickly Brunson's been elevated in a legacy standpoint? There was a clip that went around that I saw on Blazer Twitter that Bill Simmons has put Jalen Brunson in the top 48 all-time NBA history.
Yeah.
And I said this the minute he won it, and I know people don't like to say it, but I think just 1 to 2 more good years and Brunson's legacy is going to be more highly regarded than Dame's.
I mean, I think he's already there, to be honest
with
you.
It's very possible. That title did everything for somebody.
And it's not like... Not every title is created equal.
No.
It's not you're the second fiddle on, like, you're playing alongside SGA and he's the MVP. Or let's say he stayed in Dallas, him and Luka win one. Luka's getting the lion's share of the Dallas championship credit in that alternate scenario.
Well, comp titles. Brunson's one title with the Knicks or KD's two titles with the Warriors.
It's not even debatable.
I don't think it's a debate.
People would take Brunson's title 10 out of 10.
I think
over
they
Kevin
would.
Durant. Even Kevin Durant would take that title over his. That's why he walked away.
He
knew they were hollow.
He'd burner account tweet about them.
Yeah, I just, the title thing is I don't make it the end-all, be-all. I understand the argument about it. There's something that's different about this one. When you do it in New York, first one since 73, you're the guy in the fourth quarter. You have the closeout game 5 where you score nearly half of your team's points. That's going to carry a lot of weight.
I mean, that's an all-time
closeout game, all-time NBA Finals performance.
That's an all-time sports moment. Yeah,
if you want to put him ahead of Dame or put him in the top 40, go ahead, dude. I'm not fighting back against it.
It's hard to.
He was unbelievable, and they're not a team. I think one of the things that's been great about the NBA, and there's a larger conversation we can get to because I have a quick take for you today.
Yeah.
But this was the case with Indiana last year.
Yeah.
And New York's the same of, like, there used to be a feeling around the NBA that you had to have a LeBron, Kobe, Shaq, go down the list of guys, right, that were the top five in the sport. Nobody would put Jalen Brunson as a top five player in the sport.
Like, no, he's never been first team All-NBA.
If you're fantasy drafting the league, he might not even be top 10 for
he's
the majority.
He's top 10.
Okay, and maybe
but
now
he
is.
Made second team this year, but like I think if you made a top 10.
Like if you're going down a fantasy draft list, though.
There's other guys.
There's other guys that
you
are
might take a young guy and a flyer.
And that's the best player on their team.
I know.
And he's an undersized guard who was a second round pick. Like that to me is really encouraging about the NBA and why there's a lot of love for Brunson. Because it gives you hope.
Well, we can get to the Quake take today because I saw this as well and I scratched my head and I went, what? That's a take?
New York has broken some people's brains.
I agree with it.
Jalen Rose took some shots. He was like, New York, you won one title, not 10. Calm down. He's like, that's your takeaway after the NBA Finals?
All right.
We've waited since 1973 and you're telling us to calm down?
Yeah, that's an interesting position to take. A loaded second hour. We kick it off with some odds and ends involving our local team. I'll tell you what I mean. Hour 2, Dirt and Spray on 105.1 The Fan.